Book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Where's Wes at? Okay, Wes, you got to come in here, brother. He's trying to hide. Wes, just so that you know, he's married to Anita. Okay, y'all know that. And Wes had, we've been talking, and he said, Mark, he just felt like the Lord told him he needed to share his testimony, and it's a significant day in his life today, this Sunday. And I said, you bet, brother. And so he sent me what he wrote down on two pages, and he said, I just feel like I need to share this. And I said, when I read it, I said, brother, and I want you to, when he shares this with you all, you can just see the hand of God in his life, in every season of his life. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, the understanding the times and seasons of God in our lives. And I could just see the hand of God in his life and every season that he went through and every place that he moved to as well. And so, Wes, come on up here, brother. Give him a big hand clap this morning. Make him feel welcome. And he's going to share what the Lord put on his heart. And here you go, brother.
I'll try it anyway.
Okay, you bet. You're good.
Good morning, everybody. I've been going here 4 years now, and most of you know me.
Four years.
I started when I met my wife, Anita, and, well, I've come a long way in my opinion, but we're going to start with March 19th today, 1982, 41 years ago, I had a sudden life change. I was 8 years old. My dad was killed on a plane crash in the Air Force. At the time, I didn't know what happened. It was 9:20 this evening, 41 years ago, that it happened. All I knew was my dad was not coming to come home. Little backstory, I was baptized Methodist as a baby, but did not understand or comprehend God at all. I went to an old country church when I was a kid, and they read straight out of the Bible, and I did not understand any of it because it did not apply to my life at the time. At 8 years old, I didn't know how to handle the situation. I bottled every emotion up. I never cried. I never showed any emotion except for anger and it wasn't good. I look back now and understand that. I look back at it and I see it differently now. Like I said, I grew up Methodist but never understood. I moved quite a few times with my mom. 4 years later, my mom met my stepdad, and he was a blessing in disguise. He treated me and my brother and sister like his own kids and raised us that way. I never did call him dad, but he was a father figure to me. And I thank him every day for that. I thank God for putting him in my life. But I still held anger, and it was to my mom and to God for what had happened to me back in 82. So I felt everything and everyone was against me. Most of the time. My childhood was sort of typical, but when I was 19 or 20, I got in a real dark place. I worried about what you thought of me, you thought of me, you thought of me. I worried about what I wore. I worried about what I did and what everybody would think about. And I made a call to my grandma and asked her who was the preacher at the church that she was going to. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But he came to my house and sat with me. And I laid it all out on him. Everything. I felt God told me to do that. He helped me through it, got me on the right path. So, fast forward, 2003, March 12th, last Sunday. My mom died of cancer. She had told me before she passed away that she was ready to go home And that hit me hard. The blessing was that my mom got to spend time with my oldest son, Alan, who is named after my dad. He was a year old. I got married a few years later to Weston Bailey's mom. Found a church up there, and the kids and I were going to it for 2 or 3 years. Or I should say they were 2 and 3 years old. I really got involved in that church and was on a good path, but my wife at the time was not. She was doing things to hurt me. I'm just going to leave it at that. We moved to Oklahoma about 11 years ago to get a fresh start, but same things happened again. Led to a divorce. So I did feel like a failure. I felt like I failed my kids. I felt like I failed my marriage. Last day of deer season that year, I was sitting in the middle of a cotton field. Never picked my rifle up. I just sat there and had an argument with God. I laid everything out. When I finally shut up and listened, I felt better. Since I moved to Oklahoma, I could never find a church because of my jobs. Oil field and then bull hauling. Well, I met Anita March 3rd, 2019. And I started a new chapter in my life and started coming here to Harvest. Mark married us here March 14th, 2020. And my life has never been better. I have a best friend, and I feel God is really looking in on me and keeping me on the right path. My mom wrote me a letter before she passed away. I'm only going to read the last paragraph of that letter. My mom wrote, "My hopes and dreams are for you that you keep growing in Christian love and that you treat people with kindness and respect the way our Heavenly Father would want you to. Remember to turn the other cheek. If someone offends you, don't strike back. Treat them with love and kindness above. Rise above the anger. If we want to be treated with love and respect, rise above the anger. If we want to be treated with love and respect, we have to treat others the way we hope God treats us with love. Even if others treat us negatively, treat them positively. We don't have to stoop to their level, no matter how we're treated. We don't have to stoop to Satan's level in response. Pause, bite your tongue. Maybe we don't want to hear the negative comments others may say, but we might need to hear, might be what we need to hear. It gives us an opportunity to apologize." And that is my path in a nutshell to where I'm at now. Thank you.
Good job, buddy. Proud of you. Give Wes another hand clap. You need to get to know that guy if you don't know him, because he's got a big old heart for God. And his testimony, he doesn't know that. And I didn't know this as I was preparing this week and how it all came together. But I don't know if you noticed, listening to how God has moved and worked in his life, he had different seasons. Even in the month of, you heard the month of March was a big month in his life. He's experienced winter seasons during March, but he's also experienced spring seasons in March. And so that goes right along with my message today. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And you can see the different seasons up there. We got spring, summer, fall, and winter. That's how God designed in nature. How many of you are ready for spring? Amen. Winter can go home in Jesus' name. I'm ready. And stay. I'm ready for spring to come. It's been teasing us. We think we're in spring, and then here comes winter again. So we're about to go into spring. I think this week's actually the first day of spring. This week will be, and in our lives, we go through this same, the way God created nature, the same seasons happen in our lives personally, and I'm going to talk about that today. And the title of this this message is, guys, for some reason the clicker's not working. Try now. Still not working. Got me? Okay. Thanks, Carrie. So the title of this message is Understanding the Times and Seasons of God, okay? And in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, it says this, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times, everybody say understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And so what I have been praying for all of us, for myself, for all of you, is that the same anointing that was on the sons of Issachar, the same revelation would rest upon us so that we could understand the times and the seasons that we're leaving in, that we're living in, so we know what we ought to do. And everybody said, amen. Now I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I think I got it now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And those are that's the timings of God. And I love, there's a season, let me go back to verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And to know the time and the season that you're in, you're going to have to spend time with the Father. You're going to have a relationship with Him. And He'll tell you what time and season that you're in. And I'm going to explain all this. We're going to dive really down deep into this morning. But human experience, I like what this one Bible scholar said, and I'm a blue-collar scholar, by the way. Love what one of our speakers at the XO said. He was a blue-collar scholar, and I was like, that's me too. I'm a blue-collar scholar. But human experience is a tapestry woven of times and seasons. That's what human experience is. There's different times in the Bible, and I'm going to try to use my Greek on you, okay, this morning. I don't know a whole lot of Greek, but I looked these words up for the different times of God that you find. Every time you read the times of God in the Scripture, they can be categorized in four different Greek words. The first one is chronos, which means general time. Chronology is where we get our word from that. The second one is kairos time. That's a strategic or opportune time. That means you got to seize the moment right then. Horaeus, I think is how you say that. You guys can look this up and you can talk to me after service if you know how to pronounce these. This is the right time or the now time. Actually, Romans 5:6, it says that Jesus died on the cross due time for us. Everybody said amen to that. And then there's plero, which means fullness of time. And Galatians 4:4 is a good scripture for that time, and that just means that it says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. In the timing of God, Jesus came. Jesus, He was prophesied in Genesis 3:15 that He was coming, but He didn't come until about, 4,000 years later is when He came. But He came in the fullness of time. Have you found out yet that God's not on our timetable? Okay. You know, the Bible even says that 1,000 years is like a day to God. All right, in a day, 1,000 years. So He's just not on our timetable. So we have got to get on His timing with us and not telling God, God, get on my timing. It's the other way around. We got to get on His timing. In Psalms 103, verse 7, this is another. I've been praying this scripture over myself and over you guys. 1 Chronicles 12:32, when I told you about the sons of Issachar, this is another one I'm praying over us and myself. Psalms 103, verse 7 says, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. I want us to know God's ways. Amen. Not just His acts, but His ways. I want to know His ways before He acts. Everybody said amen. That's wisdom, and that means Moses had a deep relationship with God. The Bible says that he knew God face to face. So Moses knew His ways. That same relationship is available to us today. He doesn't want you walking through life in the dark. You don't even know what time it is. You don't even know what season it is. He wants you to be aware. And everybody said, amen. All right. Now, if you're a note taker, I appreciate that because I am too. But I'm going to give you 10 truths today, okay, about this, what I'm talking about, understanding the times and seasons of God. So you may just want to sit and listen and soak this up. And if you want me to send you the notes, I'll send them to you. I do that quite a bit every Sunday to different people that ask for them. But here's the first truth, okay? 10 truths, how life flows in seasons. And here's number one. Each of us experiences repeated cycles in life that are profoundly mirrored in the seasons we see in nature. Every aspect of our lives is governed by the ebb and flow of seasons. Therefore, it's spring, it's summer, it's fall, it's winter. We experience those kind of seasons in our life, and it doesn't go by age, and I'll talk about that here in just a second. All of life is filled with the seasonal, with these seasonal rhythms. Spring is the time of newness and beginnings, exciting opportunities and anticipation for the future. Seeds planted in this time will then take root and mature during summer's labor, producing a harvest in the fall, a reaping of our efforts, and then everything draws to a close in winter. And that's how life cycles, right there. Cycles just like that. So here's number two. This is all building to somewhere, and I'm going to share some personal stories from my own life here in just a little bit. 10 truths, how life flows in seasons. Here's number two. These seasons are more than simply a metaphor for aging, okay? And because you can be 80 years old and having a springtime. Amen? Some of you are like, no, you can't. Yes, you can. Dad's like, I'm ready. You can be in your 70s, you can be 80s, you can be in 90s and having a springtime. Doesn't go by age necessarily, but we attribute it to age, and we can in that way. We think of childhood and youth as our springtime. We think of summer represents the prime of life. Fall starts beyond the middle age. Then everything slows and fades in elderly wintertime. This is true. But the reality is, in each of these stages of our lives, we'll cycle through spring, summer, fall, and winter, no matter what our ages are. The example, Moses had a springtime when he was 80. Bless his heart, but then he had a 40-year winter with the children of Israel. You know, but he had a springtime when he was in his 80. And there's all kinds of examples in the Word of God of people at different ages. Here's one for you. Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old, have a child. Spring, and they're 100 years old. All right, here's number three. Number three, 10 truths how life flows in seasons. Number three is each season is unique and adds important dimensions to life. And here are four things that happen in any season that you go through, okay? The first thing, you could be in spring, summer, fall, or winter, and the four things that God is doing inside of you is He's working in you so that you understand who you are in Christ, your identity. Then he starts showing you your roles, what you're supposed to do in that season, maybe as a husband, maybe as a father, whatever. Maybe it's at work, whatever the season is. Then he starts working on relationships during that season. Some relationships are seasonal. Some relationships are for a lifetime. And you need to be wise on which one's what. Amen. And how you get that wisdom's from God. And then the other thing that God's constantly doing is building our faith in each season so that we're growing from glory to glory to glory. We're always growing in those seasons. So, again, talking about the season, spring is about beginnings, potential, promise, and possibilities. Summer is a time of growth and maturity. It is the season of work and labor. Fall is the season of harvest. Fall produces the reward of our labors. Winter is a season of winding down, withdrawal, retreat, and closure. Activities, responsibilities, and relationships draw to a close during that time. I was just sitting here looking over here at Mark Ward, and he's a coach, baseball. I grew up with this guy playing baseball for Bob Ward for the Woodward Travelers. Had some amazing times with this family. Stayed the night with Mark. There was a time in my life where Mark and I could wear the same pair of jeans. When we were freshmen in high school, we can't do that anymore. But we had a great time. But I was just reading that goes with, here's the baseball season. Spring is about beginnings. Potentially, there's spring baseball season going on right now. They're in training. They're in training camps. Spring is about beginnings, potential, promise, possibility. Summer is a time of growth, maturity. That's when they're playing ball. That's when the team's coming together. It's a season of work and labor. Fall is a season of harvest. That's where you want to get in the playoffs and go to the World Series, and fall produces the reward of our labors. And winter's the season in baseball when the guys are winding down, withdrawal, retreat, rest, closure, activities, responsibilities, and relationships draw to a close. And then this is the same cycle. Yeah, it happens again in springtime. So you see this cycle everywhere in life. Your personal life, your work life, what I just shared in baseball, it's everywhere. Winter is the time of endings. It's also a period of rest, restoration, and reflection. It can be a time of solitude. And before you enter your next spring, please listen to this. Before you enter your next spring, you must first navigate winter. And once winter passes, another spring is at the doorstep. And everybody said, amen. I look back here at Dusty and Betty. Dusty and Betty, you guys have been through a long winter period, and I'm telling you, spring is at your doorstep. And so this is your scripture. When I was preparing this, I was thinking about Dusty and Betty. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Here's Dusty and Betty. Grab a hold of that one. Here's the fourth one. Our seasons follow a set order. I hope you're understanding that now. God designed the order of the seasons, and only He can alter them. Now, here's the deal. God can alter them if He wants to. He's God and we're not. But He's a God of order, too, so it always follows this set order. It's true that occasionally in Scripture, we see the seasons described in two divisions rather than four. The progression is still there, even though the seasonal transitions can blur at times. God built change and variety into creation, and God loves order, but He also delights in diversity. I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Genesis 8, verse 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And I was thinking about where we live at is we have short falls and short springs, and we have long summers and long winters. And it kind of seems like that's how my life works out too. Short springs, short harvest times, long summer times, and long winter times. So just like in nature, the seeds are first planted, then they grow, then there's fruit, the fruit is harvested, then the plant dies or becomes dormant, and then a new spring emerges. And this is God's pattern in creation and God's pattern in our lives as well. And everybody said, amen. Everybody learning something? Okay, here's number five, the fifth truth. Our seasons vary in length and intensity and in what they require from us. Okay? And so what I just said a while ago, in our neck of the woods, we hear the term short spring and hard winter. How many of you ever heard those phrases before? We hear them a lot around here. So I'm going to say this. Seasons can have a dark side too. Seasons can have a dark side too. While you're experiencing spring, somebody can be having a tornado. And an example of this in my own life was in 1998 when we lived in Elk City. Jade and I, we were experiencing springtime in our lives personally, both of us at the same time. And that's beautiful whenever, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit when a husband and wife are in different seasons. But in this particular time of our lives, we were in springtime together. And it was bliss. It was awesome. And we had sold a house on 407 Maple in Elk City, and there was a builder that had come into Elk City and was building homes out there north of the Big Baptist Church in Elk City, and we were able to purchase a home in that addition, in the Northgate addition, and it was a beautiful home. It was 3 bedrooms, 2 bath. We was able to purchase that home. We had 2 beautiful children. We had Taya and Jaden at the time. I had launched off on a real estate appraisal business, and God had given me favor with local banks in that area and stuff, and things were going really well, and we were experiencing springtime. And most of you know our story. In 1998, that's also when our son passed away. And it was like, you know, summer, fall, where'd they go? And we went into a winter time. And it was a long, hard winter. And by the grace of God, we came out of it. and our marriage is still intact today. Has it been perfect? Nope, sure hasn't. But the thing that has kept us together and weathering the storm, weathering that tornado, is our relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's the only thing that got us through that time. And so what I'm telling you is, in different seasons, this can happen in any season of your life, you can experience the dark side of that season. In wintertime, you can experience a blizzard. You know, all those, you know, it just relates to nature as well. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So no matter what season you're in, no matter what darkness is happening, Jesus is saying, John 16:33 over you, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And then you've got to keep a hold of him during those dark times. Here's number six. The way we handle one season profoundly impacts how we experience the seasons that follow. And in nature, bumper crops or bumper harvests, you've heard of those around here, don't happen by accident. They're the cumulative result of careful effort over the preceding seasons. You won't enjoy a bumper crop in fall if you waste your summer taking siestas under the shade tree. And there's some good scriptures on this. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Proverbs 30, verse 25, we're talking about Ecclesiastes, Solomon, his wisdom. And he says, "Go to nature and look at this. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer." That almost sounded like Native American, didn't it? The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. That's exactly right. I wish Kent and Jennifer were here. They'd get a kick out of that. They're gone today. So, but that's Solomon, all of his wisdom. He said, just look at the ants. They work during the summer so that they can survive during the winter. And so the summertime is when we go to work. It's labor, it's work. And I'm gonna give you some wisdom here, and I'm gonna tell off on myself in some areas as well. Is there's three kinds of people when you go into times and seasons of God, and it's what they call, there's some people that are season rushers. Okay. If you're a type A personality, you don't have to raise your hand, you just might be a season rusher. Okay? And that means this: they set themselves up for a midlife crisis, boredom in their career, or even boredom in their marriage, and that causes other calamities to happen. And so what God is telling you, if you're a season rusher, you need to stop and smell the roses. And just that, what that means is God wants us to enjoy the season that we're in, no matter what season it is, and embrace it fully and let him do his work in that season. And everybody said, amen. And in that season, what he's working on are those four things that I just told you. He's working on your identity. He's working on your role in that season. He's working on your relationships. And he's working on your faith. And everybody said, amen. Everybody learning something this morning? And then you have the good old, what I call, and I've tried to do this myself, you have the good old, what I call, season skippers. Let's just skip that season, God. Let's just skip it. And so there's been times in my life where I say, God, let's just go from springtime to harvest time. Forget summer. Forget all the work and the labor that's involved. I just want to go to springtime to the World Series. Use baseball as an example. I want to go from training camp to the World Series. God said, no, you got to play those 160 games in between, or however many they play. You've got to do the hard work. You've got to play the game. You've got to practice. You got to do all the stuff. And so you can't skip the hard work of summer. You can't skip wintertime. Wintertime, if you allow the Holy Spirit to really work in you, and some of you in this room have had some very hard winters, but here's what I'm telling you, what the Holy Spirit's been doing that you can't see, but he's been putting roots way down deep. Way down deep. So there won't be nothing knock you off in springtime if you experience a tornado. God forbid that you do, but you're not going to be knocked off your foundation. So let God do that deep work in you. Don't skip seasons. Don't ask God to skip seasons. God, just embrace that season and say, God, I want to fully receive everything that you have for me in this season, and I want to be a better human being when I come out on the other side of it. Then there's these kind of guys, and I've also done this. I've done all three of these, by the way. Season rusher, season skipper, and here's the third one, a season grasper. and this is somebody that they try to hold on to a season that's in the past. It's in the past, but God's also saying it's past its expiration date. Let go of that season. It might have been a season of grief. We talk to people all the time, Jada, with what we've experienced, and we teach people there is a normal grieving cycle that you go through, that we all go through, no matter what kind of loss it is, if it was a child, a marriage, whatever, a job, whatever. There's a season that you go through, and some of you are in a grieving season right now, and you need to embrace it and go through it. Because if you don't, it'll come back around again and catch you in another season. You don't want that to happen. And so we tell them all the time, if don't get caught up in pathological grief, which means, you know, 20 years from now, you're still grieving what happened in 1998. And I mean grieving hard. I'm like it happened yesterday. I mean, there's times we still experience grief ourselves. That's pathological grief. That's not healthy. There's a healthy grieving and there's a non-healthy grieving, unhealthy. And that's unhealthy. And so that's what you call a seasoned grasp, where they're just holding on. It's the mother at home that the little one's going from pre-K to kindergarten, okay? They got to grow up, right? And you got to help them make that transition. But you're like, I just want to hold them back another year. And before you know it, they're 20 years old and they're still in pre-K. and that's not healthy. They got to grow up. There's that natural growth. And so you've got to let go. You've got to let go of that season, all right? You know, is there any newlyweds here in the house? I don't want to burst your bubble, but honeymoon's about over, Scott. And then, that spring season of when you first got married and everything's new and it's exciting and everything. And then, oh, my gosh, you know, we wake up and we both have bad breath, right? And that's summertime, and you got to work. That's when marriage takes work. That's what we learned at the XO marriage date night. It takes work. It takes two to tango. It takes work. And so don't hold on to those seasons. Let them grow. I'm telling you, there was a grasping of this season one time. We had taken Taya to her first day of college in Ark City, Kansas, all right? So it's a long ways from home, 4 hours. And then we're coming home. Jada begins to cry. I'm crying, driving our expedition. We had a blowout too that day when we was coming home, or maybe it was going there, I can't remember. But it was just one of those situations where seasons are changing. We knew it, and we can't, you know, I wanted to turn around, go get Tay, and let's go back home. Let's do our senior year all over again. You'll graduate in 2014 instead of 2013. And that's what Daddy wanted to do, and God's like, no, she needs to grow up. And everybody said, amen. So don't grasp. I'll tell you a situation that happened in my life. I'm going to use this an example, a story, a true story about a seasoned grasper that happened in my own life. It was in ministry. I used to do Harvest Time on the radio on 94.3 when it used to be The Rock, a Christian radio station. And me and Misty Music did that together. And we hit a nerve one day when we started talking about marriage and family and different things. And so we kept doing that together. And it was like we were having this conversation, a counseling conversation, and talking about marriage and family. We'd have people call in after Harvest Time. And it was going really good. And then all of a sudden, the management of this radio station decided to change the format from a Christian radio station to a classic rock. Okay, without me praying about it, without even me thinking about it, I just rushed right into it, rushing into a season, skipping a season, grasping, and I thought, Mark Haney's got to start a Christian radio station. That's what I'm supposed to do. I didn't spend any time in prayer about it, talking to God about it. I rushed right into it, and as we got into it, God began to make it very known to me that I was not called to start a Christian radio station. And I was like, God, you should have told me that back there. And he said, well, guess what, season rusher, season skipper, season grasper? That's, if you'd have just stopped and talked to me, I would have told you that season of ministry is over. I'm shutting the door to take you into another season. And so what we're trying to do, we're all time trying to bring seasons into this, and you've got to have wisdom and talk with God, knowing what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And everybody said, amen. I hope that helps somebody. Here's number seven. Number seven is we can and often do fail to recognize and understand our particular season. I'm just talking about. Scripture teaches this. It teaches day by day is the fundamental rhythm for living our lives in the sight of God. That's how you journey with God, day by day by day. Jesus even said this when he was teaching his disciples, and I'll show you the scripture in just a second, but when we live, so what God's wanting us to do, he's wanting us to live season-sensitive instead of season-blinded. A lot of us are walking in our journeys with God, and we're just blinded to the season that we're even in. We don't know what's going on. And guys, whenever we live season-sensitive to what's going on in us, and even to those that are around us, that are closest to us, instead of living season-blinded, life becomes pleasing, harmonious, and beautiful. It really does. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 11, when he was teaching the disciples, he's teaching us. He says, give us this day our daily bread. What he's saying in that phrase is, guys, live with the Father day by day by day, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to lead you in the right direction. Ecclesiastes 3:11, if you go on down a few verses, what we read, Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Did you know you can be in winter, in a hard winter, and it can be beautiful? If you know what season you're in and what time you're in and you're embracing it, it can be beautiful. And everybody said amen. All right, I like amens because that lets me know that you're listening, okay? Here's number 8. Understanding our seasons of life requires a vital, open, trusting relationship with God. So what I said earlier, if I would just slow down and talk to God, and I can honestly say this, the time I can look back in my life and the time that I know that I really slowed down and listened to God and I wasn't season rushing and I wasn't season skipping and I wasn't season grasping is when we planted this church right here. That's when I knew that was a time in my life when I didn't do those three things. And it's still here today because it wasn't birthed through Mark Haney, it was birthed through him. And just to hearing what he had to say. Proverbs 8, verse 34 says this, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Ephesians 5, verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I hope you're getting wisdom today from this message. Psalms 32, verse 8 says, when you do those two things, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So wisdom is you wait for God's timing. And then he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. And that's when life and the season that you're in becomes beautiful. And, I just heard this from the Holy Spirit, and we don't have Ishmaels. Because sometimes when we do the season rushing, the season grasping, the season skipping, we have Ishmaels, and then we got to live with it, with that decision. And God's like, I'm going to give you grace to handle it because I love you, but that wasn't my perfect plan. And everybody said, amen. Okay, here's number 9. We experience different seasons in different aspects of our lives. We experience different seasons in different aspects of our lives. It can be a blessing or a curse, all right? We can experience different seasons in different aspects of our lives. And I want it to be a blessing for all of us. And for it to be a blessing, we have to be season sensitive. And it's not only season sensitive to what season we're in, but even those closest to us, and I'll say this, if you're not understanding who's closest to you, is also your spouse. And because even though I told you a while ago where Jade and I, spring, spring, then winter, winter, there's been times in our lives, and I've seen this in other married couples, and I'm just going to give you an example and a scenario of this. The husband, he's in spring because he's just started a new career, and he's in a new job, so he's in a springtime. The wife is in winter mode. She's at home in winter mode because the last child just graduated and she's grieving. She loved being a mom, and she wishes her husband was more understanding of her season that she's in. And then it causes conflict because we're not being season sensitive because we're blinded to only the season that we're in. And so I want you to open up your blinders, so to speak, and get a peripheral vision of those that are closest to you and what season they're in. Because we can help each other out in our seasons. if we understand, and not fight against each other because we're in different seasons. This happens at work. This happens in church. This happens at home with marriages and families. It happens everywhere. I'm going to give you an example of my own life. I served in a church one time where I'd just gotten ministry. I was in my early 20s. You know, life was great. Life was good. I was on fire for God. Still on fire for God, by the way. But it was just springtime. I was having this humongous springtime. And it was like everything I touched came to life. You ever been there? Just everything's just working and chiming and going good. But my pastor at that time that I served under was in a wintertime. I didn't know that at the time. I do now, hindsight being 20/20. But he was in wintertime. I was in springtime. And instead of the embracing going on and understanding what seasons we were in, caused a conflict. Also caused a church split. Church division. But not only can it happen in church, it can happen in a marriage. Divorce. Church split. So, guys, we got to be understanding. I wish I knew now what I knew. You know, that's why I'm teaching it. I've been through some of these things before. So we have to be season sensitive to those that are around us because, and I love what Richard Blackaby said. He said the world would have far less conflict if people understood how to relate to others in light of seasonal differences. And the Lord's been helping me. I've been seeing this in my own life, but it's very useful when you're ministering to other people. And you might say, well, I don't minister to other people. Yeah, you do. You talk to your family members, don't you? I mean, that's ministering to people. I had this conversation this past week with somebody that's trying to go from springtime to harvest time. And I let them know, you're trying to skip a season. And there's a season in there called summer, and I don't know how long it'll last, but it's a summer of work and labor. You can't go just from springtime to, I don't care what age you are. You don't go, or how much you know, or anything. There's a seasons with God. And so you can't skip seasons. And so you're going to be able to help other people around you being, now that you're, hopefully you're getting season sensitive by the Holy Spirit this morning. And so you're going to be able to help others that are around you and in your family and your friends and coworkers. Okay, here's number 10. Is everybody learning something this morning? Okay. Number 10, Jed is like, quit saying that. Number 10, we are meant to thrive in every season. I don't care what is, if you're in spring, summer, fall, or winter, you're supposed to thrive in every season. And John 10:10 is your scripture. I have come, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus wants us to have. And I'm going to close with this story. And it's a true story, what I believe that the Lord is doing here at Harvest Fellowship Church. And a church, just like your marriage, a church even goes through cycles, through life cycles. There's been times here where we've had spring times. We've had some long winters around here. Dusty was talking about the other day, there was a season there where for a good Sunday, we'd have 40, you know, people here. And it's not about numbers, we know that, but we are here to reach people with the gospel. And now there's more here today than there was back there during that winter time. And there's just been different seasons that we've walked through. But I know the season that we've been in for quite a while has been summer. And we've been doing a lot of work, a lot of labor, a lot of growing, a lot of maturing, and we still will be in every season that you go through. But that's what's been going on around here. More people are starting not only to come to church, but there's more people starting to find where their place is at. Okay? I've been having conversations that I haven't had in seasons before with people that are saying, Mark, what's my responsibility? Where do you need me at? And so what the Lord has been speaking to me, where we're at as a church, we're in summertime, and here's what I feel like. I don't know how much is left longer of summer. I don't think a whole lot, but I feel like we're right at the end of summertime, and it's like God says, and if you've ever worked on a farm or been around a farm and a ranch, I'm going to talk of farm agriculture here for just a second, is right before harvest time is when you're working like a madman, you're frantic about making sure all the machinery's working. Combine's ready to go, tractor's ready to go, you know, all the stuff that you're going to need for harvest time, it's ready to go. It's all the repairs have been made, it's fixed up. I feel like we're in this big barn in this garage, and we're repairing everything. And then God's been sending people and saying, hey, this needs to be in place. This needs to be here. Example I'm going to use. Will Bowie came to me and said, hey, what about small groups, Pastor Mark? I'd love to do that. Just haven't felt that the timing of God was right. But I do now. And so we're starting two groups here pretty soon. There's sign-up sheets there in the back. One of them is going to meet in Leroy and Janice's home here in Leedy. Will Bowie is going to be teaching in that one or leading in that group at their house. They want to host that. And then there's going to be one at Kent and Jennifer's at the Well downtown. And those are the two groups that we're going to start with. We're going to start small and just go from there, see where it goes from there. But I foresee the day that we're going to have groups in Elk City meeting during the week, other towns around here, and here's the deal, is to pastor and shepherd this harvest that's coming in. It's not just on Sunday morning. Yeah, they're going to come here and get instruction. It's like huddle time, you know, rah, 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 here we go. And then we go out into the harvest and do those things. But I see that happening to with the harvest is coming in. But God's telling me, Mark, I'm not going to give you any more than you can take care of. And so it's going to take more, raising up more shepherds, more pastors to help take care of the harvest that God's sending in. Because God's saying, I've got you in the barn repairing all these things, getting still working and working all these things. I don't know how much longer summer's going to happen, but I know summer's coming to an end because harvest time is coming. Fall's coming. I don't know what's about to happen in this earth. God does, and that's why he's getting us all prepared. Because I've seen a day where people are flocking to the church to hear the word of God, to hear truth, to find rest for their souls. And they're going to be going to churches that are speaking the life. They're not just speaking a traditional word, but speaking what God is doing right now. The men of Issachar. Because they understand what time we're in, what season we're in. And people are going to flock. And we're not the only church in the land. There's going to be churches all around here that we're going to be networking together to hold this harvest. And everybody said, because Jesus is about to come back. And it's going to take all of us finding our spots. And if you haven't found yours, start praying where yours is at. Amen. And everybody said amen. I love it. Okay, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I pray that you've heard what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally through this message today. I feel like there's just, as I was preparing this, I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, there's going to be certain things that I'm going to be speaking to certain people, and they're going to start understanding what time they're in and what season they're in. And the most important thing is they're going to become season sensitive by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I thank you that you're doing that in this house today. God, I thank you that there's understanding coming in marriages right now, God. They're going to have grace for one another where there's been conflict because they've been in different seasons. They're now going to have grace for one another. God, I thank you for that. I thank you that there's grace coming into workplaces because it's been an illuminated light has shown on that, hey, we're all in different seasons here, so we've got to have each other's backs. We have to be season sensitive. We have to have grace for one another. God, I feel it happening in our church family, God, because we're all becoming season sensitive. And Lord, I thank you that harvest time is coming. We're all about harvest around here. But God, we know that there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And so Lord, help us to find our place. Lord, as Jesus said, he said, pray for laborers into the harvest. Lord, that's what I'm praying over all of us, that we find out where we're supposed to be at and then serve and labor in that position, God, in Jesus' name. And so Lord, I just thank you for this word today. Just help it to resonate in all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just want to pray for those that are here this morning. May there's someone here and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. It's the right now time is today. Lord, there may be some that are watching online today, listening to this on the radio. And Lord, I want the honor and the privilege of leading them in the prayer of salvation. This is where we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus rose, that he died for our sins, and that he rose again on the third day. And we confess him as our Lord and our Savior. So, Lord, I want to lead everyone here in that prayer today. Even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to jump up, hug somebody's neck, stand up, and Jada's going to come. We're going to speak this blessing over you. And look at somebody and say, I know what season you're in. I hope you know what season each other's in. Be season sensitive. All right, I'm going to speak this blessing over you guys. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. Love y'all.